Take a nice full breath in. Let it out with a sigh. Ah, wow, what a day. And again, big inhale. Ah, nice. And just let your breathing become deep and soft and full. And let the sound current of the gong and the bells soften your body and just clear your mind. Envision that beautiful Colorado blue sky in the place between your ears, just open and clear. Breathing. Allowing the energy of this day to permeate, to penetrate, and to begin to integrate all of this new information and all of the old information, remembering as old souls these things we've heard before, allowing yourself to open the doors and the windows of your perception so that you can feel and hear these things as you have many times before. And let them have new meaning, new awakened meaning, as you vibrate in the energy of love that is here for you.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. As I was just saying, I'm back. There's no time here where I am. And it's difficult for me to give you or my partners messages that are synchronistic to the reality you live in. And so we often spend time instead telling you about the energies and the potentials that are here. And that is what this particular message is. The message will not be an endurance test. We have only a few things to say, but it's going to require that we do it slowly and accurately. For we're dealing with things my partner has no knowledge of. And so I give him these kinds of visions. He translates them in real time as I give them to him. Even the voice that you hear, the consciousness that you perceive, the energy that is around him, is his ability to meld with spirit in a quantum state, to bring forward in what you call real time a real message that he is not aware of. He steps aside, as he is now, and with curiosity listens to what's happening next. It is not a takeover. We have an agreement, one he hasn't talked about much. And years ago when I said we are going to channel in this fashion, he says, I refuse to have a takeover. And instead I offered him a meld. And I said, if you will meld with me during these times, there will come a day when the meld is permanent. And he agreed. And he asked me at that time, is this unusual? And I told him, it is what every single human can do. Not sit in front of humans and channel, but have a direct portal to the Creator. These things have been done by those you call humanoid before. And before that, they were done. And before that, they were done. And the result of doing them properly eventually connects you to the creative source and you stop being a human. And the ones who seeded this planet walk this day here. But they don't die. They're in a quantum state. They can travel wherever they want. They reside in certain parts of the earth, including Shasta, including Hawaii, including the portals. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And that is the promise of what happens with Earths everywhere that go through a process where they pass the decision points and start another process where they change the reality of what has been to what will be. I am trying not to be cryptic, and at the same time, I do not reveal the specifics of things that are not known here. Spirit has a promise to humanity. If it's the planet of free choice, we can't give you hints. All things that are revealed must already be here in human potential thought. All inventions of what might come about have to already be germinating somewhere in the human mind. And if it isn't, we don't speak of it. And perhaps this is the first time you've heard this from a channeler. That we do not reveal things that are not already here in some form. But typically, human thought, even of invention, even a potential, even a philosophy, takes a decade or more to reach where you hear about it. So today I'm going to tell you some things that we see, the potentials, of which are there already. It isn't fortune telling. It's here already. And so I walk you through some things quickly. You're in a new energy. It is just starting. The end of 2011 into this 2012 brought about what we have called for a long time the Bridge of Swords. The Bridge of Swords, we have described before, is a bridge that humanity goes from one energy to another, and it's celebrated all over the universe. Celebrated. And those who help seed the planet and those who help seed them and the ones before them and the ones before them are standing around you, in front of you in the corridor, crossing the swords, seemingly a battle, but they are not. They're a victory. Like the ceremony of marriage in the military, where the comrades in battle stand and cross the swords, and you walk down the aisle. That's the Bridge of Swords, and that's what you're doing. You got help. What happens to a planet that is starting to soften? Old souls are the light bearers. They're the ones who will show the rest of the earth the light in a dark place. And that's what you've been doing. It's an overused metaphor, but one that we continue to use for it's simple. You have those on the planet who have walked in the dark for thousands of years. A darkness where they don't unify. Because it is hard, if you're walking in the dark, to know what to do where you can't see it. And so you take care of yourself. It's more about survival. You get those you can collect around you. You can hear them. You can sense them. You collect that which is what you would call a group, and you huddle in the dark. This is the metaphor for the planet as you know it. Wars break out because you're in the dark. You can't see them, and so you fear them. And that's the way it's been. And suddenly there is light. What happens when there's light in a dark place? You can see to walk from here to there. There is no fear about the unknown when you can see in front of you. You're free to unify. You're free to have ideas. You're free to have knowledge. The title, if you want to, this particular message is what I told you it would be. The recalibration of knowledge on the planet. Unknowing. a softening, moving more from the masculine to the feminine, that is to say, balancing what was unbalanced. North and south coming together hemispherically so that they're no longer a macho northern hemisphere, but one which is balanced. It has to happen that way for Africa to do what it's going to do. It has to. Look at Africa on the map. You'll know what I'm talking about. Balance must occur, and it is occurring. What happens when the earth starts to soften up and there's more light? Even the terrorists change. I invite you to watch it, human being. I invite you to watch all of it. You can watch some things happen that you didn't expect. When the Soviet Union fell over, how many of you had the answers of why that worked? Because old energy was no longer supportable. There comes a time in the physics of consciousness where if you do not have a cooperative group of human beings who will agree with an old energy precept, it cannot be sustained. What happens when the majority of the world doesn't want war anymore? I want you to watch some countries. I don't have a clock. I'll just tell you, it's imminent. I want you to watch some countries. You're going to be seeing changes, obvious ones and non-obvious ones. But the obvious ones, sooner than not, Cuba, Korea, North, Iran, of course, and Venezuela. I want you to watch what happens when they start to realize that they don't have any more allies on earth. And that even their brothers who used to support them in their hatred are saying, well, perhaps not anymore. Watch the synchronicities that are occurring. The leaders who have either died or are going to in the next year or so. Watch what happens. And remember the meeting. I want to tell you this. It is not simple. Old energy dies kicking and screaming. Old energy does not surrender. Old energy simply dies. There will be holdouts for a long time. Those who want to crop up and pull you backwards, who cannot believe that the earth has gone soft on them, continue to rattle their sabers, make threats, make news doing it. They're not the majority. Human being, they're not the majority. My partner is giving you that which is the weather. Is it going to get better? No. This is a two-generation cycle. There continue to be earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, and storms. This is a recalibration of life in the ocean. Humanity must go through this in any way they can. I would like to tell you, you have got equipment, like the animals do, to keep you safe in the right place at the right time. And you don't believe it. Oh, you'll use the parking angel, but not the life angel. The little stuff, easy. The big stuff, harder. But the process is the same. Dear Spirit, where should I live? Dear Spirit, where should I go? And Spirit is right there answering. And you hear it as intuition. And the first thing you do is, nah. That's me talking. No, I'm waiting for the voice in the sky. I'm sorry. Not understanding that that is how we speak. The little voice that holds your hand. It's the first intuitive impression after a question. Sometimes you get it before the question is asked because we know you're asking it. Sometimes we're so anxious to give you the answer, so excited that you would even ask, that it comes even before you ask, way before. This is guidance. That's what to expect. It comes with the territory of a rejuvenation of the planet. And this is the year it starts. Now, let's talk physics. Because now we can reveal some things, beautiful things, that are starting to occur to science, starting to be seen, understood. What you have before you, the gentleman on the floor, is Yayi. I know him well. I know him well. It's interesting, is it not, what the Akashic memory banks bring forward. They are designed to release information about your Akash as the energy of the earth changes to a place where it's appropriate. Nikola Tesla had massless objects in his laboratory, what you would call anti-gravity. He knew how to transmit electricity wirelessly, by the way, through the ground, not the air, through the earth, not the atmosphere. And he was frustrated. He could not prove it. The technology was not there, but more than that, the energy of the planet consciously was not ready for him. He could not get past the barrier of belief. And so, by the way, he's back. And so is Einstein. And you'll know them when you see what they're up to. Because the energy is now appropriately ready for some of the theories that were before their time, which were just as accurate then as they are now. Expect cold fusion, by the way. I told you this before. The experiment with cold fusion was accurate. They could not reproduce it because they were not aware of the attributes of magnetics that was influencing their experiment. They thought it was simple chemistry. It wasn't. It was an accident. Todd is here, and his Akash is starting to reveal what he knows. The energy moves forward and releases engrams into his consciousness. He doesn't get everything all at once. The vision that he had started his quest, but he is learning things that are being released to him little by little. My messages to Yayi about the pineal tonings did not come from the ethers. He already knew it. But let us say he needed a prodding so that he would match the clock of 2012. And it's worked. And he will be ready on time. But he knew it. He already had the inkling of the tones put together. Because he knows about the cycle of physics that nobody talks about. And so we will today. He ran something called the Temple of Rejuvenation in Lemuria. There were attempts of it in Atlantis much later, and it didn't work, because Yayi wasn't there. And he had an attribute that the Lemurians knew was unusual, and that is he lived three times the lifetime span that they did. And so he had within him some secrets. And they were secrets about energy. about DNA. And in the temple of rejuvenation, he had discovered something that is in the works of being discovered right now. I don't have a clock. How soon? You'll see. And so I address Yahyi now. Good morning, Yahyi.
Good day, Magnetic Master.
We've spoken before. We've done it like this. We've done it in private. We've done it in public. You're not being put on the spot. Always given in appropriate love, just in order to perhaps press issues that are already there so they match your clock. What do you remember about the temple of rejuvenation that comes to you in certain aspects? Do you remember what the energies were there?
There was the use of the intrinsic magnetic ore of the earth that was especially concentrated in certain areas and was further augmented by altitude.
You remember, dear ones, listening to this and reading this, that the Temple of Rejuvenation rested on the tops of Lemuria's mountain. Lemuria is the highest mountain on the planet. To this day, it remains the highest mountain. But today it is submerged. It is called Hawaii. The islands of Hawaii are only the mountaintops of a giant mountain, measured from the bottom to the top, the largest on the planet. There is snow at the top even now. Can you imagine it? 20,000 feet higher. The highest one. The one that was first, by the way, observable from space. The one that the Pleiadians chose to come to first. Obvious it was. Indeed, altitude and also temperature. You might remember you were always cold. Always cold. For you couldn't have a heater in the temple. Because then, it didn't work. When you saw that which is being done today in macro entanglement on the screen that my partner brought, did you see anything interesting that you might remember?
What do you mean in this context by macro entanglement?
I mean that you were using entanglement on a macro scale. And in order to do there, something had to occur. And you saw it on the screen. We speak of temperature. We speak of cold that is so cold that it actually creates that which has no resistance. It actually is the catalyst for increasing that which is magnetic 10, 100 times, even 1,000 volt. Without machinery, it was one of the attributes that allowed you to do what you did. I want to ask you this. How much do you remember about the apparatus that was necessary for this? I ask you these things only of interest to see what your Akash is up to. We have said there was something called the target human.
In this moment, the key attribute is a magnetic driver with a particular geometry both above and below the so-called target human. So there was both magnetics, there was the null zone point that creates the entanglement, and there was the importance of a counter rotation and counter spin.
Very good. Now, the big question. So the human is entangled, is it? With what? Do you remember? Let me ask you this. How many humans are in the room?
About 10.
And is there a special one?
The template human.
Indeed. Do you remember any attribute about the template human that would be noticeable if you saw them? You're not there yet. And that is what we're going to jog in memory today. If it's all right with you.
Surely.
I have to go through a process. For do you understand what is happening? And in the process, there's revelation. I take you to the atomic structure. I've done this before. I've never taken you to this stage. I want you to look at an electron with me. Now go slowly, my partner, for you've had no training in this, and it's important that you get the message as presented and don't enhance it. Physicists say that electrons spin. They don't. They can't. There's no surface. They're energy. They don't spin. They are, but they don't spin. They have potential. Every single particle on this planet, in the sky, everything you can see, all things in this universe are created with polarity. That's new. All things are created with polarity. And they're designed to be self-balancing. And because of the polarity of what you would call plus and minus, they move and try to balance themselves within a field. They are prone to what I will call peer pressure. Electrons, go slow, my partner. Electrons which carry what you would call a certain kind of charge, we'll call it positive, are drawn to those which are negative so that they will null themselves out. They seek each other for the null. But in even an atom, there are not always matched pairs. And so there'll be what I will call the odd one out. And the entire atom will then be charged positively or negatively, depending upon the odd one out. This atom will seek out another atom, which has an odd one out of an opposite charge. That has a name. Magnetism. I've just explained magnetism. Now, science knows part of that. They don't know why. They don't know that all things have a duality. All things have a duality. They suspect it, and there are theories that will show it soon. And I've given it to you because it always has existed in someone's mind. From the very smallest to the very biggest, even the galaxy has duality. At the center of your galaxy, what you call the black hole is a quantum push-pull engine. I'm going to tell you in a minute why it's that way. Big question answered right now. Why does everything have a polarity? Why would it be created this way, even down to the electron? A polarity. The smallest thing, even the what you call the Higgs, the quarks, they all have polarity. There isn't a piece that you're going to find that doesn't. Why? And now I'll tell you why. Physicists will laugh. Not in ridicule, but in agreement. If it were not that way, the universe would be a dull, boring place to be. Because by the fact of creating a duality in every single particle, you create an active universe that is self-balancing and is never at rest. If it were not this way, it would be static. It would never change. It would never move. It would never move from one place to another for any reason at all. It would simply sit there. And if it did, there would be no life. Life is created by having a duality, a polarity in atomic particles. Life is that which is necessary for the universe to exist. There's no reason without life. And you thought it was the other way around, didn't you? Life was an accident on one planet. Well, 3D of you. Let's continue the discussion, for it's going someplace, Yahi. You just described the process of creating entanglement. And what you described was magnetics and null points. Very good. Do you perhaps understand that magnetics and null points are even at the center of your galaxy?
Of course.
So that means the galaxy is an entangled state with itself. And this now explains why all of the solar systems, the constellations, are not following Newtonian movement. They all move together as one because they are entangled. I've just given the reason for it. The science will start to understand that soon. It's been a mystery. Now you know. So you have macro entanglement. The largest thing you can imagine, the galaxy, is entangled with itself. Is it possible there are other entanglement issues that you don't see or recognize or know about in every single day life? And the answer is yes. So here we go. Oh, dear human being, what I'm going to give you next is beautiful. And it has to do with DNA. And Yahi knew it. And he knew how to do something magical. And here we go. The blueprint for DNA is perfect. The good doctor tell you that. I've told you that. And it's perfect inside you. And you sit here with DNA that doesn't work well. It is designed as an informational source to receive the energy of that which is around it, created by consciousness of humanity, to posture itself in an appropriate reaction. In other words, if the planet has low energy, it will too. And because it's a quantum engine, if the quantum energy created by human consciousness is low, it is going to work poorly. And it works poorly. I want to define life for you, not biological life. I want to define spiritual life. It's when a human has free choice. And when is that? When they take their first breath. Not in utero. There will be those who will say, that's wrong, that's wrong. I'm talking about spiritually. That which spirit sees. You come from the other side of the veil when you take your first breath. Now, there are things that we've talked about even before. The baby getting ready, that's not what we're talking about. But I want to talk about the baby getting ready. I want to talk about 240 days in. I want to tell you what that child has. Perfect DNA. It hasn't taken its first breath. It hasn't, listen, it has not measured the energy of the planet. Do you realize that? Inside the womb is a perfect child. The DNA ready to go, the quantum instructions all talking to it, getting ready for the first breath. Now, I reveal to you, Todd, Yayi, what you already know. The Temple of Rejuvenation has two human beings entangled. One is the target. You explained very, very well the attributes of the target, creating an entangled state with the woman who is pregnant. You've taken
the source of the perfect DNA template.
That is correct. The secret of the Temple of Rejuvenation. Do you see the implications? The wise divine feminine, the only one who can be in the source chair. Are you starting to understand the beauty of this, the implications of this, and where it's going? You're going to find the secrets. They're going to be embryonic. Start watching scientists discover the embryonic cells. You already know that the stem cells exist in the placenta. You already know that the stem cells that are adult are still there in the body. But what about the ones, of course, embryonic, not yet born, untouchable as they should be, except through entanglement that is quantum? It's a beautiful state. Now, are you understanding what you were doing? Do you need any more answers?
Well, I could say, do I?
What is it that you dream about, Yayi, that you don't know?
I dream about that recalibration of DNA and that coherence alignment that allows us to move freely, I guess as the Pleiadians do, in a quantum state from one place to another.
Of course, the dream has been implanted. You might think it's the cart before the horse. I ask you about a dream we gave you. Of course you would ask that. And all in here are asking the same thing, and you're saying, well, where can we find a pregnant woman and do this? It's beyond that. And the Pleiadians knew it, for they don't have a pregnant woman. In order for them to do what they do, I would tell you that my partner has received the message in the past about the attitude of physics. It is imbued in the natural invention that you have, and that is to say, every field you create has the attributes, are you ready, of perfect DNA. It has already the attributes of the blueprint. You don't need a pregnant woman. And what you have done is to create a quantum field with those attributes, and the cells listen when they are exposed to them. It's not finely tuned yet, and you will discover how. And when you do, you will have the regeneration engine of the future. But in the process, it will be seen by science also. You won't be alone. It is not appropriate that you would have the secret of life, and there will be others. Embryonic studies are going to start to reveal that which is not perfect DNA, but the ability to grow back limbs and all the things we have talked about for 23 years. And there it is, laid out in front of you. One of the reasons why that which is Yayi and Todd milled to go beyond what you had in Lemuria, because the training is not stopping here. You live with the Pleiadians. They want to hear the tones again, as they did 26,000 years ago. They're ready. And that signal will say, humanity has arrived and is going to stay. And that is the message for the day. Some will say, too much science. And some will say, the beauty of the system of the Creator is at hand. And it's going to enhance human life and human understanding and human consciousness. And I will tell you, as I've said before, that the distance between the nucleus and the electron of every single atom is filled with the love of God. That's the soup of the Creator, built for life and ready to take your hand. It is the recalibration of knowledge. Get ready for it. I have no clock. I can't tell you when. I can just tell you it is at hand. And it was not when we started all those years ago. You passed the marker. And now the work begins. And so it is.